Kumlan in a block Gemara. We are up to the new Pedik and Dafnun Beis Amud Beis Pedik Chamishi. We're still discussing Tchum Shabbos and Yom Tov. So now we're talking about how we're going to measure, and it's not going to be so. It gets quite complicated because when it comes to inclines, depressions, and so on, we want to smooth out and give as much area as possible, because you can include the inclines and your 2,000 amas get swallowed up very quickly. But if you level it out and you work out some kind of an average, then you get a much greater distance, as we will see later in Gemara Dafnun Hay and onwards. So the only pictures. But right now, we already mentioned before that you have a city, and then outside of the city you have 70 and 2/3 amma, which is considered still an extension of the city, and then you begin counting your 2,000 steps. So the Mishnah now tells us that the way Tchum Shabbos is, we square off the city, and we're going to square off the Tchum. What does that mean? So Keitzad, how do we ma'abrin es ha'arim? How do we give, we add space to the cities? That we broaden their boundaries. How do you work out where the Tchum begins? So it goes like this. Bayis nichnas, if you have a picture, you can see this. Bayis nichnas, bayis yotze. You have a city which isn't a straight line. The outskirts is not a straight line. You have one house protruding and one house that's inwards. Upagum nichnas, upagum yotze. Or if you have a wall, and the wall has migdolim, has towers, but one tower is sticking out, and one tower is sticking in. So how do you work out, you know what, so are you going to say that those houses are sticking out, if you go from there a straight line, you have 2,000 amas from that house, and those houses that are more inwards, their 2,000 amas is different. How do you work out the perimeter of a city? So he's going to tell us, or we'll see in a minute, Hayisham Gudulius Gvayasar Tvachim, that if you have, let's say, broken down houses, dilapidated houses that are 10 Tvachim high at the outskirts of the city, within 70 2/3 am of the end of the city, or gisharim, or if you have bridges, and these, if somebody can mute themselves, please, and these bridges have somebody living inside, we need a house, a dwelling. Somebody's living by the bridge, for example, and, nefashes. Nefashes over here, normally nefashes means like a tomb. Over here it means like a house, guarding of the cemetery, or somebody lives there. Sheyesh behen beis dira, you know, these buildings right next to the tombs where somebody actually lives there. So this is what you do. Moitziin es amida kenegdon, you take the most outer house, and you use that as your line. And then v'oisin oisik kimin tavlo. Okay, this is what you do. Let's say on the northeast corner you have a house that protrudes an extra 50 meters beyond all the other houses. So you go to the northeast corner and you say that's the line. And then you draw a straight line down to the southeast corner on the bottom. And you imagine there's a house in the same place. And then you make a straight line from the top to the bottom. So we're very lenient. So we square off the city. Or if it's a rectangle, but we square it off, right? We take the most outer houses and then we make a straight line down. Then you give it tchum, and the tchum itself also we square off the tchum. So which means that it's not like a circle, we said before, you have 2,000 amos all around. We square it off. So you have the diagonal that takes you, you know, if you're going diagonally, you have 2,800 amos that you can walk. You make it like a square. You benefit the corners that you can go, that distance of 2,800 square amas. And if you remember last time we had a machlekes rishonim, and then do we say 2,800 amas all around, or just if you're going to the corners of the world? In other words, if you're going due east, due west, due south, due north, it's 2,000 amas. But if you're going northeast, for example, then you have 2,800, another diagonal. Or do we say that once we give you 2,800 going diagonally, you get it in all sides? But anyway, so the Gemara is going to say, we have a little bit of gadot. We had a similar Gemara before about how words are supposed to be said. Remember, they had to memorize everything by heart. They didn't see in writing like we do today. They don't have that benefit. So sometimes they didn't know which particular word you were using. Rav Shmuel, one of them said the word is ma'abrin, like a pregnant woman. That was a pregnant city. It protrudes. V'chadam ma'abrin means limbs. You're adding on limbs. Manda toni ma'abrin, adding on limbs. Eivir means you're literally adding on limbs. Manda toni ma'abrin with an ayin is ki isha ubra, like a woman who is pregnant. talking about words Ma'ora Samach Pela, we also have talk about other arguments of Rav and Shmuel. Ma'ora Samach Pela in Chevron, what is the cave of the Machpelah, the double cave? What does double cave mean? Rav and Shmuel have an argument. Chadama, one of them says Shnei Batim Zeh Lifnim Zeh. It was two chambers, one inside the other one. And just like we're arguing here now, Mishnah, what the word Ma'abrin is, we're going to argue in a few other places in Psukim, certain words, what they mean. So Ma'aras Ma'apela is a cave, a double cave, means one room inside another, one chamber inside another. The Chadam and No means a Ba'ez Valiyah. There's two stories. Ma'apela, two stories. Al Gabav, above it. Says the Gemara Bishle, Ma'adam is Al Gavze, you know, it's two stories. Ha'ino Ma'apela, double, two stories. Ma'adam is Shnei Batim Zeh Lifnim Zeh, two chambers, one side another. My Ma'apela, what does it mean double? What's double? Double means shekvula bezugis. They're all pairs. Double with pairs because all are couples. Who are they? Because as Gemara says, mamre kiyas abba of the four couples. Amar abizchav kiyas arba zugis. The four couples. It's the region where you have four couples. And what are the four couples? Adam nechava, Avraham besara, Yitzchak berivka, and Yaakov leya. Rachel wasn't there. Okay, another argument. But he may Amraphel. The kings we have. One of the kings was known by the name of Amraphel. Well, who is Amraphel? What kind of name is that? Rabbi Shmuel. Same Rabbi Shmuel argued against Chadam and Nimrod. His real name was Nimrod. Why is the Torah referred to him as Amraphel? Sha'amar. He said, "Vahapil Avraham Avinu." He said, "Let's throw Avraham Avinu into the furnace." So Amraphel is from the is Lahapil from the word throw him in. Throw him into the fire. Okay, so Amraphel made up a few words, which is the word hippel and Omar. He said, throw it. That's one opinion. The other one says, no, Chad Omar, Amraphel Shema, his real name is Amraphel. In all of these arguments, we don't know who says what, and then the Mefarshim try to figure out if there's a consistent machlekes that's going through all of these. Chad Omar, Amraphel Shema, his name is Amraphel. His real name is Amraphel. Why do we know him as Nimrod? He made the entire world rebel against Hashem. And that's why it's amazing you have some people today go by the name of Nimrod when it has such a devastating and negative connotation or meaning. A new king was established in Mitzrayim. Rabbi Shmuel again, the Rashi brings in Chumash. Chadama Chodesh Mamash is a brand new king, new pare. The Chadama Shin is Chatshuk Zeyreiser. Same king, but he suddenly became like a new person. What else do you want? But Mandam is Chachik Zeyreisiv, that he wasn't a new king. He just changed his whole attitude. He doesn't have a Yomaz Vayimlech. He died and a new one reigned. Sounds like it's the same person. Excuse me. Well, Mandam is Chachik Zeyreisiv, that he issued new decrees. Haksiv, it says, Ashallah Yodas Yosef. Wasn't familiar with Yosef. Obviously, it's the same king. Of course, he knew Yosef. Says Gemara, that's not a question. My Asher Lo Yodas Yosef, he behaved as if the Havik Domi commanded Lo Yodas Yosef Klal. He behaved as if he didn't know Yosef at all. Says Gemara further. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said Yudches Yomim 18 days. Godalti Eitzel Rabbi Isha. I grew up. I was raised by Rabbi Isha for 18 days. Beribi, the great man. And Rashi says here, whenever we're talking about an extremely great man, a very special great man, we call him Beribi, the great one. If it's like the Godel Bedoyle. The Lord of Mati Menu, and all that time, Elador Echad Mishnah, I learned one thing. It's an Al Mishnah. Kate said Ma'abin Esa Edim with an Aleph. He clearly said it's with an Aleph, not with an Ayin. No, is he adding limbs to the city? Because the northeast corner sticks out, protrudes. You make a straight line down to the bottom. So anyway, it's not so. Only 80. You only learned one din. Rabbi Yechon Yud based on Midim Hayavayisha. He had 12 prize students. Berebi. The Yudches Yom Gedalti Benen. I was there for 18 days. Well, Amadati, and I learned while I was there. I learned Lev Kol Echad VeEchad. I realized how sharp each one of these students was. And I realized what distinguishes one student's sharpness or acute mind from the other one. And the chokhmas kol echad ve'echad. I also realized how intelligent each one was and the differences between one student and the next. What do you call it? Someone answered, yes. Lev kol echad ve'echad, chokh lech ve'echad gomar. He takhi understood the students. Abba gemara la gomar. But new dinim he didn't learn from Rabbi Yishe Berebi during those 18 days. Another point is, from students I learned a lot of things, but not from Rabbi Yishe himself. Or I can say, David Acha, the Mishnah saying, who come out. But David Echad, he meant, I learned from him a lot of Braisa. Remember, Rabbi Ishi was the father of his Hefta. I learned from him a lot, but not Mishnah. This is the only Mishnah I learned from him. Another comment Rabbi Yechon made while he was studying by Rabbi Ishi. So Chakl is there 18 days, he's making such a big deal out of it. We squished in four students in one amma. We managed to squish in. Why? So we can hear every word that he said and shouldn't miss a word. And Amr Rebbe said, Rebbe said, when we learned Torah about Rabbi Lazar ben Shmua, and Rashi told us before, whenever it says in Shas, Rabbi Lazar, it's not Rabbi Lazar ben Rabbi Shimon Chayi's son. The Gemara would call him out, Rabbi Lazar ben Shimon. If it says Tam Rabbi Lazar, the Tana, it's Rabbi Lazar ben Shmua. So Rebbe said, whenever I learned by Rabbi Lazar ben Shmua, Hayinu Yoishvin Shisha Ba'amma, we squished in six in one amma. I mean, it's a bit hard to understand. I mean, each person took up only one tefach. That's a pretty amazing how that's possible. Amr Rabbi Yechon said, Rabbi Oishe, the great man in his generation, was equal to Rabbi Meir B'doyre. If you remember, we learned in the beginning of his Masechta, Rabbi Meir was so sharp that nobody ever understood what his reasoning behind what he said was. People couldn't really fully fathom Rabbi Meir's logic because he was so smart, superior to everybody. Nobody could fully understand and appreciate what he was saying. Omar Abiyachin, the famous saying, how generations evolve and each generation is like a level lower than the previous one. So each generation needs more svarim to keep them on their toes and so on. The Shagas Ayi says the reason why each generation is worse is because I'm more Sfarim, and Sfarim, he says, is the enemy of intelligence. Shagas Ayi says the more you learn other people's ideas, the more you stop thinking for yourself and you just become a parrot. He says that you want to learn, you have to learn Gemara and Rishonim and then try to work it out. And they say, he actually passed away at a very old age. They say he passed away. Some of the Sfarim fell out and hit him and hurt him and eventually passed away. And they say he was in a coma from the Sfarim. Anyways, Rabbi Yechon makes a comment. Liban shel Rishonim, you know that the mind of the earlier Rishonim, of the Tanoim, kipischi shel ulam, was as wide as the opening of the ulam, which was 20 amas wide. No, they had an open mind, they can understand anything. Vishalachrainim, the later Tanoim, is Kipishcha Shel Heichel, was as wide as the entrance to the Heichel, which was the Kodesh, that room, the inner room, in the base of Mikdash, and that was only 10 amas wide. Va'anu, and we, our generation, is Kemole Nekev Machat Sitkis, is merely like the eye of a needle that you sew clothing. That's how big our mind is. No, as compared to them, we're nothing. Rishonim, who is he referring to when he says the earlier generations, Rabbi Akiva? Achreinim, the later generations, Rabbi Elazar ben Shmua. Ikidami, others say, Rishonim is Rabbi Elazar ben Shmua. And Achreinim, and if so, who were the Achreinim? The Achreinim were Rabbi Oishe Berebi. Rabbi Oishe, we just said, was a giant of a man. He was the one that we say there was only like the Heichel. And V'onu, and what are we? Kemali Nekav Machat Sitkis, like an eye of a needle. Says the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Zabaye, sitkis is cracks, you know, to a needle that used to sew cracks or rips or tears in clothing material. Omar Rabbi Banan, okay, that's Rabbi Yechon. So where are we a couple of generations later? We are kisiksa beguda, like a peg. You try to put bear a hole in the wall and you push it in, the gamra, to completely put it in the wall, which means it's very hard. You got to work very hard to push it in. For us to understand, things, to learn things, is much more difficult. And Amar Rav says, "Vanan and us ki etzba." And what are we? So Abaye made one comment. He compared it to this peg you push into a wall. And Rav says, "What are we ki etzba osa? Like a finger, bekido, you put into wax l'svara when it comes to understanding. When it comes to understanding things, in other words, it's very hard to come up with our own ideas." So no, Abaye is talking about the Gemara. He said Abaye is talking about when it comes to learning, for us to remember things and understand what other people are saying, and so on and so forth, is difficult, like pushing into a wall. And Rava says when it comes to thinking for ourselves, it's even harder, like pushing your finger in the wax. At least you're pushing a peg in the wall, you do eventually make the hole. Just hard work. Pushing your finger in wax, you don't get too far. So he's saying that in Svara, when it comes to thinking for yourself, already we're pretty poor. And yet the Gemara always gives an example. If you want to know the real Shakla Vataya, he's like, Havoyas the Abaye Verava, the debates between the Abaye and Verava, that's like the paradigm of what it means, a logical debate. Then comes along Avashi. Avashi is the end of the Amoraim. So the next generation, he says, Anan, us, we'll have a Gittin, the different generations there. Kiedz Ba'asa, Bebira L'shikha. He says, when it comes to forgetting, it's like putting a finger into a boyer, into a pit. In other words, when you put a finger in the pit, it gets lost in there. We forget everything. Tosis brings something, which I think some of us can relate to, especially me. Tosis says over here, that from Rabbi Chananel, he says, the word is not bira, but biza, which means mustard seeds. You put your finger into mustard seeds, it makes a wave over there, it moves around. As soon as you take it away, the seeds fall right back in place. He says, you learn one masechta, he doesn't add the words dafyemi, but he says, you learn one masechta, and you're getting into it. But as soon as you get to the next masechta, the first masechta goes right back to where it was, as if you never learned it. You forgot everything you learned in the last masechta. He said, that's life. So if Rav Ashi can say that about him, imagine us. Says the Gemara, but it doesn't matter, we have to learn. Omar Rav Yehuda, Yehuda said, Omar Rav, Bnei Yehuda, the people live in the region of Yehuda and Israel, Shekpidu al-Shainim, they were very particular in the way they spoke very clearly and succinctly in this kind of Trasm Yadam. They remained scholars. Bnei Galil, the Galil, upper and northern Israel, Shalahikpidu al-Shainim, they weren't so particular, like this kind of Trasm Yadam, their Torah didn't remain with them. Says he made a mara, midei bikpei de tali misa. What in the world is the difference how you speak, how eloquent you are? What does that have to do with learning? Elabina Yehuda, the Daikalishna, the people of Yehuda, when they learned, they were very careful to make sure they remembered exactly what it said, not approximately what it said, but exactly what it said when they heard from the Rebbe and so on. And furthermore, what is it? They would make all kinds of signs or references so they can remember exactly what their teacher told them. This kind of Teras Meyadim, they remembered. They were happy to know approximately what was said. They didn't put signs or references for them to remember exactly. It didn't remain with them. Another thing. B'nei Yehuda learned from one teacher. Therefore, they remember. They don't get mixed up. This kind of Teras Meyadim. The Torah remains in them. B'nei Galil, had a lot of teachers. Torah already brings from the Gemara Avodah Zarah that we will learn that if, on the contrary, if somebody only has one teacher in his life, remains a fool. You should have as many teachers as you can. That's talking that once you've, like, remember, you learned Rav Meir. First he went to Rabbi Shmuel to learn the Gemara, and then he went to Rabbi Akiva to learn Svara. When it comes to learning the basics, you have to have one teacher teach you all the basics and everything else. Once you're ready to know all the basics, now it's a question of how to think. On the contrary, a multifaceted way of thinking, you know, speaking to different people, gives you your own blend of learning and your own identity. Not rather, if you're learning from one person, then you start thinking like them. And you have you're pigeonholed in a certain way of thinking. Then there's another difference. B'nai Yehuda, the Golem, Sata Ben Yehuda, who went and taught to others, because they taught it to others, therefore they learned and they remembered it. But B'nai Yehuda, the Golem, Sata, did not teach anybody else. Loin is kind of Terasim Yodam. It did not remain, the Torah did not remain with them. Or Rashi's another pshat is that even they didn't teach others, but when they learned it with themselves, as if they were teaching others, they were explaining it well until they really fully understood it, not just learning it superficially. We see that difference between David and Shaul. David got Masechta, David revealed the Masechta, Shaul got Masechta, Shaul did not. David got Masechta, Ksiba, it says by him, Yireecha Yiruni, that those of him, you know, they saw me, they were all happy. In other words, we learned together, they were all happy because I taught them halachas and everything else. Shaul did not teach anybody. See, by him it says, Kol Ashiyifna Yashia, wherever he turned, Yashia, he made mistakes. Or he did the wrong thing, he did not paskin like halacha, like Rashi says. And Abish forgave Shaul for killing out the entire city of Noiv, or the Koinim, therefore giving bread to David. Shneimer says Mocher, when he brought Shmuel down, it was said Mocher, tomorrow atavanecha imi mechitase, you're going to die and you're going to join me in Gan Eden. Amar Baba said, Baba, that means David should forgive him for his sin, pardon him. Amar Baba, iyikud amashilu, if there's somebody there who can ask, with the Yehuda, since you said the people in Yehuda are so accurate and so exact with their memory and wording, the Dai Kolishna, ask them, Avrin Tanan and Avrin Tanan. Go back to our Mishnah. Is the word Ma'avrin with an ayin or with an aleph? It talks about the different flaws of a bechor, of a firstborn, which means renders it a balmum, and that means that anybody can eat it. It talks about if you're missing a testicle. So the word over there is, it says over there that you have to sit him down and, you know, in a certain way to test to see whether there's a defect there in the genitals. So the word is akuzoi or akuzoi, with an aleph or with an ayin. Which one is it? Tanan. Which one was it? Says the Gemara. Because Yadi, they will know. Shelinu, we asked them. The Amrila Ika the Tani. Ma'avrin or Ma'avrin. Guess what? They asked them the question and they were answered. You know something? Some people said Ma'avrin, some people Ma'avrin. Sounds like a joke. You know, some people stand up by davening, some people sit. So even though they were accurate also when there was a machlekes. They remembered the machlekes exactly the way it was. Ikidatani akuzi, ikidatani akuzi. And they said some people say akuzi with an aleph, and some say with an ayin. Bnei Yehuda daikelishli. You say the people in Yehuda are very careful in their lashonis, in their wording. Mayi, give me an example. Dahuba Yehuda. No, it's very specific, succinct, and they're not vague or ambiguous. Dahuba Yehuda. This person from Yehuda Damalu, he said, talis yeshlimko. I have a talis to sell. Omrule my gavan talischa. What exactly is the color of your talis? He could have just said red, but he said amalu kitardin ali adama, like a beetroot that is still sitting on the ground. So, you know, was he saying that he was much more accurate in the color of this particular talus? Okay, so that just shows you how careful they were. Bnei Galil, the Lei Daikalishim, you tell people Galil, we're not very careful in the Lashon. What happened there? Ahuba Galil, Davik Ozul, he's going around and he was saying, tell me, Amar Leman, Amar Leman. He used the word Amar, which could mean so many different things. If you don't speak clearly, Amar can be a sheep, also see an Amru Le Galilah Shaita. What exactly? You're going around searching to buy an Amar. What do you mean? Do you mean Chamar? And Chamar Lemilke, you want a donkey to ride on? Oy Chamar, which is wine, Lemisha to drink? Or Amar wool, Lemilwish to dress? Oy Imar, or a lamb, Liskasa to Shecht? You're not clear. That's the difference. Who eats as a woman, the boy, the member, the chavat, that she wanted to tell a friend. I'm giving a few examples of people who don't speak clearly. So now we're going to say not speaking clearly means even they don't enunciate the words clearly. They mumble the words off the breath and they expect you to understand them. So for example, this woman, she wanted to say to friend, Tar, the oich l'chalba, come, we'll go eat some fats together. And that's what she wanted to do. And instead, Omr Allah, she said to him, Shalechti, Toichlech lavya. Instead of saying ta, the oichlech chelva, she says shaluchti, wasn't clear. Toichlech lavya. Let a lion eat you up. That's what it came out like. Because she spoke, she mumbled it so quickly. I used a woman that was coming down, and came before a judge, and she wanted to say, my master, please judge me. Instead, she said, Mora kiri, instead of a kiri with a kuf, which is my master. She says, Kitty with a cuff, which is my slave. So she turns to this judge and she says, my slave. Tifla Havali. She wanted to say, I have a tabla, board, or a tablet. Instead, she says, Tifla, which is wax. I had wax. The Gunvach Min. She wanted to say, they were stolen from me. Instead, she's saying, the Gunvach Min, I stole the judge. The Kade Havali Chishadule Ailele Matin Karachara. And it was so big that if you stretch it out, your feet would not touch the ground. Doesn't make sense of what she said. You stole the judge, and because she didn't speak clearly. Amasa the Beit Rebbe, the maid of Rebbe. We have a number of times the maid of Rebbe was obviously a very intelligent woman. And Kavishtoy Balasha Chachma, she would speak very wisely, and sometimes she didn't want to, she was very politically correct, she didn't want to offend anybody, so, and had Bachram staying in their house or eating there, so she said it in a way that she didn't want to offend them. If she wanted Bachram, didn't want Bachram. So this is what she said. If she wanted them to leave, or if she wanted them to stay. So she said as follows. She would say, Omra Hachi, this is what she said. Allah, we have this small jug that we take wine out of a barrel. Nakvat bikat, ayayay, the jug is hitting the barrel walls. In other words, what she's saying is, we ran out of wine. Yidu nishra el kinein, Maybe it's time that that everyone should go back to their nests. It's time to go back to the nests. So what is she saying over here? And she's saying, and Nesher are, what do you call it, eagles. It's time for the eagles to go back to the nests. So she's hinting to them, we ran out of food, ran out of wine, go back home, go learn, do something else. So she didn't want to just say scram or leave. She said in a very diplomatic way, and the Talmidim understood. What happened? Kadabai Lezrin, she wanted them to remain. She would say to them, Yadi Basa Chavrimine, she would say to them the other way around. She would say to them that Yadi Basa Chavrimine, that will follow your friend, Vitikofta Allah Bekud, and that the jug is inside the barrel, Ki Ilfa the Ozl Biyama, like a ship floating on the sea. In other words, there's plenty of wine available. Yadi Basa Chavrimine, she says, is let's take the lid off the barrel and then see what's going on. So we, in other words, hinting, there's plenty of wine, please remain. Rav Yoisi bar Asyin, ki havi mishtoyi, b'losh ha-chochmah, speaking ha-chochmah, like you have over here today, you know, people speaking anagrams and so on and so forth, they expect you to figure out what they're saying. So he spoke. He also gives these kind of clues. Omar, he said the following. He said, osu li shor b'mishpat, he was saying, you know what, let's make a cow with judgment. What he was trying now, a shoyer in Aramaic is a toyer, and mishpat is din. If you put the two words together, toyer and din, it becomes tardin, which is beetroots. And then he says, betur, which is a mountain, and miskin of a sick person. But a mountain is a har, and a sick person or a poor person is a dal. You put har and dal together, imagine the hay can be a ches, becomes chardul. I want beetroot with mustard. I guess it's such an odd thing, beetroot dipping in mustard, so he wanted to say it in this way, disguise what he would really wanted. So the truth of the matter is, the Chochmah was not so much a Yosef bar Asyin, it was more the person who heard it understood exactly what he was trying to say. I think you've got to give more credit to that person than to Rabbi Yosef, because he knew what he wanted to say, just had to figure out how to say it. The other person had to figure out what actually he wanted to say. So I wonder who deserves more credit, the listener or the sayer. Anyway, the kad havi shoyel b'ushpiza, if you wanted to ask the host how they're doing or where they can stay, the word ushpiza means a host. So this is what he would use. Amari would say hachi the following. Gever, a person, which is an ish, right? Gever is an ish. Pum, which is a mouth, which is pi. And dain, which is zu. So that's, if you put ish, pi, zu, that's ushpiza. And then he said, chai, what do you call it? Mazu. So he would say, this ushpiza, whatever that is, what is it? Is this a good place? Is the person, is the host all right? Is the gong all right? And so on and so forth. So he wanted to be, I guess I'm not sure what the point of here, he wanted to be whimsical. He wanted to test them, see how smart they are, clever they are. When he was speaking Lashon Chochmah, now everything is Yocha Pratis. So here at least we have the word Esrig, which is coming up the Yantav of Sukkot. Remember Rosh Hashanah, we were learning all about Rosh Hashanah. Havi Amar Hachi, he would say, this is what he would say. He would say, Asrugi lepchamin. I said, I want that the pchamin, which are known as, which is coal, should be like an Esrig, should be burning like an Esrig. And they should, you know, shine and glow and so on and so forth. Arkiu lezahavin, I want you to spread out lezahavin to the gold, and spread out the coal which are like gold, the yellow. The osali, and I want you to make me shnei magide ba'alata, make me two signs in the darkness. Which I want. What's a sign in the darkness? A rooster when it crows in the morning. You know that the darkness is about to end. So he says, I want you to go ahead and bring me these things. So again, they can't say things straight. They would say these things in riddles. And he wanted the fire so that he could warm up next to it. I'm going to say, I want you to make for me two things that are telling me that it's dark. In other words, I want you to, not I want the fire, the coal, to burn and make me warm, but I want you to take those two roosters and actually put them on the fire, and that will be my meal. It seems that he hid. Show us where Rabbi Loi went in hiding. Amalem, so he again, he said to them in a riddle. He said a pasuk, Olatz benayda. He's enjoying himself with a young woman, Aharonis. Sounds like from Aharon, a descendant of Aaron. Aharonis, this is his later wife. Iranius, she is very effervescent. Vanirtai, and she kept him up all night, so now he's asleep. That's what he said. Amrila Isha, he's talking about a woman because his first wife died, and this is the second wife. He just got married, so therefore he's enjoying her company. But Amrila say Masechta. Others say he was talking about he just finished learning a Masechta Gemara, that and why is it called Aharonis? If it's a woman, she's a Bas Kain. If it's a Masechta, so Rashi says he was learning Kachim, like the Brisky Shiva's learning Kachim, and he was so involved, and he just finished, therefore he's tired, he went to sleep. They said to Rabbi Loi, now they went to Rabbi Loi, they saw Rabbi Loi, and they said to Rabbi Loi, where's Rabbi Vu hiding? Amrul, he told them, Nisyai is b'machter, that he's taking advice from the crown, and v'hignim l'mibayshis, and he went to the Durham side, to meet Mipi Boishas. Now, Mipi Boishas, we know from the Gemara Brachas, was very smart, and in fact, he used to embarrass Dover HaMelech and Halacha. That's why he's called Mipi Boishas. In other words, he went to learn, and that's where he is. And we know Rabbi Akiva, when he was looking for a new great Talmidim, he went to south. So here also, he went south, which is a sign of going to learn and be great scholars. In my lifetime, nobody ever beat me in a conversation, in an argument. Except a woman. We learned he was a great debater. Nevertheless, he said, three debates I had and I lost. With a woman, with Tinuk, with a young boy, with a young girl. Isha Mai, what's the story with a woman? I once went to stay behind in a hotel. Or in some by a host, a guest house. Usali pull in, she made me peas. So on the first day, okay, I ate it up. I ate up the entire plate. It was actually quite good. I ate it all up. Okay, and then the second day I ate up these peas, she left nothing behind. The third day, she put a ton of salt on it. And kima sha'amti, so the taste in mashachti yodim, and I couldn't eat it anymore. It's not edible. Omli Rebbe mizmancha, Said, why aren't you eating? I don't want to embarrass her. Amarta told her, kvar sa'arati boi joim, I ate earlier, so I'm not hungry. Omli Li, so she said to me, hoya loch, you should have limshach yadecha minapas. You should have then walked away from eating the bread. You should have eaten the bread. In other words, you should have eaten the bread. But she said, well, you don't eat the bread, so you wouldn't be so full. Omri Rebbe, then she said, maybe Shemalei Nachta Pei Bereshayim. Maybe when you ate before, you know, the beans previously, you didn't leave anything behind. Lekach Omri Chachamim. Then the Chachamim laid down a rule as follows. When you have a Shamash, the Shamash has no right to eat the food from the big pot because he has to serve it to all the guests. But every guest should leave a little bit of food over on the plate so that the Shamash, the butler, has what to eat. And you licked your plate clean and you never left anything for the Shamash. So and that's why she salted it so much to be able to give him this lesson. There's nothing behind in the pot. On the plate. So she was right and I was wrong. Tonight is a young girl, what is that? Pamachas once he's a mile going on the road, and there was this access way going through their field. He's a mile was traveling in it. This young girl said to me, Rebbe, it's a private field. What are you doing here? There's access here. Everybody uses this. There's access. A bunch of robbers like you are walking through our trespassing on our property. She was right. Tinuk Mayi, what's the case of the Tinuk? This is the famous story where the beginning of and the Dom of Tanya of Kikor Lecha Dovimoid. It goes as follows. Pamachas one, so Yisim Havadar go traveling. In the Medrash, it talks about the children of Yerushalayim, how smart they are. Here the Gemara just tells us about a child. Once Mahalabadarach was traveling on the road, but Yisit Tinuk, I saw a young kid, Yeshiva, sitting by a fork. Amarti loy be'ezah derech negliya. What's the best way to get to town? Omer li, he said to me, Zuk tzor avrucha, this road here, you can go on this road, it's short but long. The zu avrucha tzor, this other road is long but short. So I thought, as soon as I heard the word short, I got all excited. V'alachti b'tzor avrucha, I went to the short road, which is long. Kim shigai to li, when I came finally, right next to the city, matzasi shemakif enoy se gagaz apadesim, I found that it's impossible to get in. It was surrounded by roofs and orchards, Chazati lachodi, back, I trace my steps back. Amartel bini, my son, halay amartel, amartel liktzada, you told me that it's short. Unbelievable, amartel, did I tell you arucha? I told you it's short, but long, that's what I meant. You can get close to the city, but to get to the city is very difficult. The shakti varosha, I kissed him on his head. Amartel, I said to him, ashreichem yisro. That was the other way, is long, it's a longer way time-wise, but you'll get there. Instead of scolding this young kid, he actually praised him. He says, praiseworthy are the Eden, shekulchem chachamim gedolim atem gedolchem aktanchem. You're all so smart, so wise, from the old to the young. Rabbi Yisrael Gluli, Havikah, he was traveling on the road. Ashkele Beruya, he met Beruya. Beruya is the famous wife of Rameir. She used to teach Tanoim. She was the daughter of Hananya ben Tradyan. And she unfortunately had a tragic death. And she also lost her children in her lifetime. And she was a very, very wise woman, how she broke the news to her male in the Gemara another time. Amala, so Rabbi Yisi said to Beruya, Be'eza derech nelech lud. He said these four words. What's the road to travel to Lud? Amra lei, she said to him, Galili, shoita, you're Rabbi Yisi Galili, you're a fool. Lekach amacham, it says in Pirkei Avos, al tar besichem isha, you shouldn't talk to a strange woman or even your own wife, extra words. You said four words, you could have said the same thing in two words. You should have said, Be'eze l'lud. Which way to lud? I would have known exactly what you meant. By adding the extra words, Be'ei derech and nelech, why else would you ask me which lud? Direction lud. I would have known exactly what you meant. Beruya, ashkachtil, and we're talking about Beruya, we find that also once she met a Talmud, she was learning to himself, but quietly. Botchebe, she gave him a good zetz, which is interesting. She gave him a physical kick, Rashi says. Omdale, she said to him, Lekach kosev. It says in Pasuk, Arucha vakol ushmura, that if you organize everything, it will be guarded. And it means as follows. Im arucha beramachiva, when you learn Torah, you organize that all your 240 limbs are involved. That means you learn vocally, use your mouth and everything else. Then you will remember everything. Everything you learn will be remembered. But if not, you will not remember a thing. And a similar story quickly. Abelezer had a student. He learned Gemara to himself quietly. In 3 years' time, he forgot how to learn. Because you have to learn loud. Loud on your thing. Tony, we learned Talmud Echad Hoyle Abelezer. Abelezer had a student, Shedeschayev Besreifu Lamakum, that he committed an Aveda. And for whatever it is, if he was Aveda, he deserved to die. However, Amru, he said, Hanichuloi, let him be. Adam Godel Shemesh. He served me, and therefore he served a great man, and that alone is a schus. So we're saying Rabbi Lezer was a great man, and this is what Rabbi Lezer told his Talmud before, that you should, I guess what we're trying to say here is that student there learned on his own, he forgot his learning. This student here served Rabbi Lezer, and therefore Rabbi Lezer said that should stand him in good stead. And that's, and just finish off, Amar Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda, Shinina, you clever one. We have this comment all the times. Psach Pumach, open your mouth, Kriya, and learn Chumash. You learn Torah, say it loud. You should be your own student. And Psach Pumach Tani, open your mouth and learn Mishnayis. Why? Kehecha de Tiskayim Beich, in order that you'll remember it, V'toyra Chaya, and you will live a long life. Shemar says, Kichayim Heim L'moitza Eim, that this is life to those who produce. What do you mean those who produce? L'chol psori marpe, and to all your flesh it'll be a cure. So what does that mean to them to produce? Altikir L'moitza Eim, don't say to those who find it, Ela L'moitza Eim, to those who actually produce it. What do you mean? Bepeh. By being vocal, when you learn, you should always speak loud the words of Torah, and it will save you as well. Okay, the Gemara will continue tomorrow in Mitzvah Hashem. Everyone have a good day.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
See you. Bye.